Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm not that great of a storyteller, but I'll quickly recount what happened. We were staying at a Hogan Airbnb on the Navajo Nation close to Monument Valley, and there were several very friendly, calm dogs roaming around. My friends and I, one of whom is deathly afraid of dogs, had no problem being with them or petting them. We had a gorgeous view of Monument Valley right from our door, and it was cold, yet cozy. That night, I needed to use the bathroom and opened the door to the dogs going absolutely nuts. There is a difference between a dog barking at just whatever, like a person walking by, for example. And then there was this, a total fight or flight response. One of the dogs ran up to me looking anxious and glanced into the desert behind the Hogan. It came close, then walked back to look into the desert behind the Hogan. Its fur stood up, and it suddenly looked more like a wolf, then took off into the desert at full speed, growling and barking at a huge shadow that ran away from the dog. There aren't many huge animals in the area, just some deer and horses, maybe cattle, but this was bigger. I didn't stick around long enough to check what it was. I was pretty shaken by what I saw. I found some fresh wolf or mountain lion prints and hoof prints, probably from a horse outside the Hogan the next morning. The dog's prints are smaller. Our host said we might have seen a skinwalker. I'd like to believe it was a horse. It was dark anyhow, but the host didn't want to talk about it too much. The guides we met later on said the same thing and kept it at that. Later that day, one friend suddenly fell ill on a tour of another Hogan and almost fainted. That had never happened before in her life. The guide said she probably had some bad spirits attached to her. She recovered quickly after stepping outside. That's all. It was a really wonderful trip overall. I'd go again if I could. My friend and I had been backpacking through Asia for a couple of months before moving back to the States. Towards the end of our trip, we stopped in Phuket, Thailand, and checked into an Airbnb or hotel for the night. The night we checked in, we had gone to bed as usual, sharing the bed as we had done the whole trip. I was dead asleep when I woke up to my friend clutching my arm tightly, with a look of pure terror on her face. As I looked at her, completely confused as to why she was terrified, she said, "Do you see it?" and shakily pointed to the corner of the room on her side of the bed. I looked up and saw this large figure, moving and expanding and collapsing into itself at the same time. It felt as if the energy was being sucked from the room. It appeared a mixture of black and glowing, metallic red. It did not resemble a human at all. My brain couldn't even fully comprehend what I was seeing. So, naturally, I responded to my friend by shakily pointing to the corner as well and responding, "Yeah, it's growing." The really weird part is the last thing I remember was pointing, feeling scared, and then I woke up in the morning. I fell asleep, but it's more like I just blacked out. The next day, we didn't even discuss it. We said, "That was strange, huh?" and moved on. Recently, years later, we compared notes about what we had seen and experienced. Our notes aligned in every way. What we saw, passing out, how we felt. It's one of the strangest things that has ever happened to me, and I could never really think of an explanation as to what we experienced. Has anyone had a similar experience or could shine light on possibilities? Okay, so my sister and I went to Puerto Rico for a few days and stayed at an Airbnb on top of a mountain in Las Piedras, Puerto Rico. The Airbnb was a huge house that we shared with the owner during our stay. During one of our nights, my sister and I were extremely tired from exploring the island all day, so we turned off the lights in the bedroom and said goodnight to each other. About 10 minutes went by, and as I was dozing off, I saw a dark, swirly, energy-like entity floating through the room. The room was pitch black, but this thing floating or flying around the room was blacker than pitch black. It stood out because of its darkness in the dark, if that makes sense. I automatically told myself I was losing it, and that I was probably super tired from everything we did that day, so I closed my eyes and went to sleep. The next morning, I woke up, and my sister was not in the room. I grabbed my phone and saw a few text messages from her, including a picture of her in the bathroom down the hallway, vomiting her life away and texting me how she's really confused because she didn't drink or feel ill, and she never throws up. A few minutes went by, and she came back into the room. When she walked in, the first thing she said was, "Yo, I don't know what the heck is going on, but some stuff was flying in here last night." My heart automatically dropped to my stomach, and all of a sudden, I found myself running to the bathroom, getting on my knees, and vomiting a whole bunch of yellow liquid. This happened almost 2 years ago, and I still find myself thinking about it. If anyone knows anything about what this could have been, I'd love to hear it. I was on vacation in Italy with my parents and my best friend since childhood, who I will refer to as Jack. We were at an Airbnb for the night, and sleeping arrangements were that Jack and I would sleep together in the same bed and my parents in another since there were only 2 bedrooms. I go to sleep first, and Jack decides to stay up a while and watch a show on his laptop, sitting at a desk across the room from the bed. This was fine by me cause he used headphones, and I fall asleep no problem. I wake up a few hours later in the middle of the night, which is typical for me, and I decide to look around the room a little. The room is very dark, but in the corner of the room by the desk, I can see the silhouette of a man sitting in a chair facing me. Only he has no head. I feel a little creeped out, but convince myself Jack must have fallen asleep in the chair while watching a show, and his head is just laying on his chest in some weird way that I can't see it. I lay back down and drift off into sleep again. This happens 2 more times throughout the night, with the same outcome each time. That is, until the next time I awake, I look over and the silhouette is still there. I begin to lay back down, but my hand lays across onto what would be my friend's side of the bed. It hits a shape in the bed. My heart skips a beat. It feels like my hand has landed on Jack laying in the bed next to me. Slowly, I work up the nerve to feel what it is, only to anticlimactically discover it's just a pillow knocked ajar in my sleep. I look back one last time at the silhouette, only to find it's disappeared. Freaked out, I jump up and reach over to turn on a lamp at the side of the bed and frantically look around the room, finding that both the chair and the bed are empty. I have no idea where Jack is, and I'm fearing for my life. I sit, unable to move, for hours until the sun finally rises. I quickly leave the room and rush downstairs to find Jack sitting on the couch watching TV. He tells me he never slept in that room, eventually having decided to just sleep downstairs on the couch. We stayed in that B&B one more night, where I opted to sleep on the couch. I never saw the figure again, but that room freaked me out. I have lots of experience with the paranormal since I got into spirit work in the past 2 years, but I wanted to share a particular experience that my friends were also a part of. Last weekend, we booked an Airbnb at a popular ski village, and the neighborhood the house is in has the word historical in the name, but that could just be named so without actual meaning so. The following few things happened which are really extreme, but enough that it made me wonder. So the morning after the first night, I go to take a shower in the ensuite, and I'm super paranoid about people trying to open the door when I'm in the washroom, so I lock it and then double check it to make sure it locked properly. Even if I'm home alone, I lock the washroom door simply because I hate the awkwardness of being in the washroom and then someone jiggling the door. So I lock it and then check to make sure it won't open either by turning the knob or just pulling on it. Satisfied it's locked, I walk towards the shower, and I just touch the glass door, don't move it, when the bathroom door swings open halfway. I rush to check if it was one of my friends that I'm sharing the bathroom with, and they are both asleep. I lock it again and take my shower. Thankfully, the incident does not repeat itself. On the second night there, we are partying on the main floor, and the dining room, kitchen, and living room are all connected. Open concept since it's a small apartment house. One of my friends notices that one of the dining room windows is open, which is weird because it wasn't open before when we looked around the place when we first arrived, and none of us opened it since then. She goes to close it, and as she's doing that, I see a woman's silhouette behind her head. I don't say anything because while I'm into spirit work, none of my friends are, and I don't want to freak them out, especially after the shower door incident. The next morning, one of my other friends mentions she saw a woman's silhouette behind our friend closing the window, but didn't say anything since we were all drunk, and it could cause us to panic. Now, this is the one I know people will immediately dismiss, but I think it's worth mentioning. So I've been trying to achieve sleep paralysis for years simply because it's an easy way to transition into a lucid dream or astral projection. However, I've only been able to do it a handful of times, and that's when I haven't been smoking or drinking for a while, and with mugwort tea and magnesium and melatonin supplements. Basically, it takes a lot for me to make it happen, and it usually requires one of my spirit friends helping me. So both mornings at this place, I woke up super early and went back to sleep. Each time resulted in me having sleep paralysis. The first time was the silhouette of a spirit standing by the foot of my bed and waving at me. The silhouette was exactly how I see some spirits who pass through my house. The second morning it happened, I saw the exact same thing. I've never seen the same sleep paralysis stuff twice, so it was weird, and the fact that my drunk self was able to experience sleep paralysis for the first time in this state and effortlessly is what shocked me. This is probably nothing and just regular sleep paralysis, but I still wanted to mention it. So that's what happened, nothing crazy I know, but I felt like sharing it. Immediately when I walked into the bedroom I was staying in when we first arrived, I felt like there was a presence there, but I dismissed it as just wishful thinking. I don't know for certain if there was a spirit in that house, but I'm inclined to think so. I was in Vermont to see some friends, and we found a cabin deep in the woods through Airbnb to spend the night. I had maybe one, two drinks while no one else drank. It was a good day full of laughter, and I was now the only one left awake at midnight. I was downstairs in the living room enjoying the cabin and contemplating life. There were no blinds or curtains on any window in the cabin, which I found strange. There were many windows, and each showed the pitch-black darkness of the wilderness outside. I went upstairs to sleep in a room shared by my best friend, in a separate bed. Before lying down, I stared out the window of the room, thinking again how odd it was that there were no blinds or curtains. I remember thinking how someone could probably spot me from a mile away through this window. I laid down and instantly fell asleep. I woke up to my best friend standing over me with his hands squeezed around my neck. We were both screaming at the top of our lungs and wrestling for our lives in the darkness of the room. We fought for a good minute, all the while screaming and destroying the room. Glass was shattered. The furniture was moved around the room. Eventually, my friend came to his senses and turned on the light while we both tried to make sense of this mess. My only recollection was waking up to my friend screaming and choking me by the neck. He seems to remember me standing over him and threatening him. He says he felt overcome with rage and attacked me at this point. We both went downstairs and tried to talk through it. We had a few main questions we couldn't answer. We had both only been asleep for 10 minutes by the time we started fighting. REM sleep cannot occur within 10 minutes, so it cannot be dream-induced. Our other friends in the room next door heard nothing and didn't wake up to the noise. After about 30 minutes downstairs, I felt the most horrifying dread I've ever experienced, thinking my death was certainly imminent. I went into full panic attack and started screaming to wake everyone up and leave the cabin. We all packed up and left within the hour. What are some possible explanations? The owners of the Airbnb checked the CO2 monitors, and they were fine. They were never told the full story, but we agreed to pay damages for the room. I recently traveled to New Mexico, and I don't know if maybe it's because I'm not used to the scenery, but I felt so creeped out. It wasn't until my second night there that I really wasn't feeling comfortable. I started to have an uneasy feeling that was causing me to have a stomach ache. I was dreading heading back to my Airbnb, but nothing happened to me. However, my cousin said that as they were going to sleep, it looked as if someone was flashing a bright light in their eyes, but as soon as they opened their eyes, they didn't see anything. I don't know. I just know that in the daytime, I felt fine, but as soon as the sun started to set, I started to feel quite scared. Buckle up, boys and girls. My buddy and I just experienced some great creepishit while on a trip to Red Rocks in Colorado. I write a lot of things down anyway, and so I figured I might as well post the story here and see what you guys think. So who here has used Airbnb? Raise his hand. I think I've used it no less than 20 times. All great experiences up until this point, seriously. I need to go ahead and preface this by saying that, while I could send you a link to this house, it wouldn't do you any good because it's not there anymore, but we'll get to that. I'm guessing that since you're reading this, you're probably a bit like me. A big reader, kind of weird, generally a fan of being scared. More power to you. My buddy, we'll call him John, is the same way. So a few weeks ago, me and John saw that one of our favorite bands was going to be playing at Red Rocks. We've been talking about making a trip up there for years now. We live in Florida, and the timing seemed perfect. Both of our wives are pregnant, and the thought process was that if we were going to make a trip like this, it was now or never. The drive was going to take about 24 hours, so we decided we would drive until about midnight after we got off work, find a place to crash, and finished the drive the next day. I immediately hopped onto Airbnb and started looking for somewhere cool to stay. Remember what I said earlier about being into the slightly creepy? Well, I'm scrolling through potential places to stay in Tennessee, since it's about 8 hours from Tampa where we live. I come across this majestic, plantation-style house in some place called Sequatchie, Tennessee. The pictures look amazing, and it only costs $30 a night to stay there. $30 gets you the upstairs suite, complete with its own bathroom. You can tell that it sits on a tall hill in the woods, overlooking a fairly large valley. It's a sprawling, two-story house, white wood, with ferns hanging off the wraparound porch. It looks like something from To Kill a Mockingbird. And I'm immediately sending John screenshots like, "Dude, we have got to stay here." He texts back, equally enthused. He does point out, however, that the place has no reviews. Now, in my book, this is an Airbnb no-no. But the place seems so cool, and it's so cheap, and, what can I say, I was feeling spontaneous. So I booked it, strict cancellation policy be damned. I mean, you can't beat $15 per person. We would play rock, paper, scissors to see who got the bed when we got there. A couple weeks go by, and the day of our trip finally arrives. We both get off work at 4 and meet up, already packed and ready to go. We knew that the trip from Tampa to Sequatchie would take 8 hours, so we didn't waste any time getting on the interstate. Honestly, the drive up there was pretty uneventful, so I will spare you the details. By the time we make it into Tennessee, it's approaching midnight. When we get off the interstate and head toward the address, it's dark. It doesn't get this dark in Tampa. Apparently, the town of Sequatchie isn't overly concerned with things like streetlights. The cell service finally dwindled to nothing about 15 minutes after getting off the interstate. Surprise, surprise. But John was smart enough to screenshot the route beforehand so that it wouldn't be lost five-star wingman there. Ladies and gentlemen, we navigate some serious back roads, eventually leaving the pavement behind for a long, gravel driveway. It didn't stick out at the time as much as it does in retrospect, but the mailbox was actually lying on the ground, causing us to miss the turn on the first pass. Only after getting out in the pitch darkness and examining the fading address stickers by the light of John's phone did we determine that we were indeed on the right track. We continue up the driveway, if not with a little more skepticism than before. It winds on for, I shit you not, 12 minutes through some mountainous territory. At times the grade became serious enough that I thought I might have to put my 4Runner into four-wheel drive. We finally come around a bend in the drive that opens up onto a large field. In the distance, I see the house briefly as my high beams swing across it during the turn. I think that was the first time that I really became concerned that something wasn't right. In the brief seconds that my headlights illuminated the house, it was obvious that the pictures had been deceiving. It was without a doubt the same house, but it clearly hadn't been cared for in some time. Half of the shutters were hanging off haphazardly. The white paint was dirty and chipping. The ferns from the picture had long since withered away. My car continues the turn, and the house is once again obscured by darkness as we make our way around the perimeter of the field in front of it. I remember John saying something along the lines of, "What the F have you gotten us into?" as we pulled to a stop in front of a massive old willow tree that served as the end of the driveway. It looked like some ancient sentinel in the semi-darkness. The house stands about 30 yards away from the end of the drive. I notice with relief that it does have electricity. At the side door, there is one of those old-fashioned yellow light bulbs casting a sickish glow onto the surrounding bushes and the sidewalk leading to the driveway. I turn off the car and try to lighten the mood by saying something my grandfather always used to say. Home again, jiggity jig. John casts me a sideways glance and smirks. We could leave. Find a Motel 6, or just take turns driving. At this point, my creep meter was quietly pinging at around a 6 out of 10. Just on the threshold of uncomfortable, but not quite there yet. Definitely not Motel 6 uncomfortable. Come on, John, where's your sense of adventure? I say as I swing my door open and hop out. My feet make a scrunch sound as they meet the gravel, and I'm immediately struck by how loud the sound of the summer bugs is. We grab our backpacks and pillows and make our way down a very old sidewalk toward that yellow light. For some reason, it reminds me of a hospital. The instructions said check in whenever. The key will be under the mat. John stoops and lifts a corner of the ancient mat. Underneath is a skeleton key, roughly the length of my hand. Pretty cool. He stands up with it, and we just sort of stare at each other for a second. The door has a large frosted window, and we can see that it's pitch black inside. He shakes his head at me and sticks the key in the lock. The deadbolt makes an ungodfully loud catchunk sound that, I swear, echoes. I reach past John and push the door inward. The air that blows out as the door opens is stale. It smells like air that has been sitting still since the Paleozoic era. I need to be clear that it doesn't stink. It's just thick with the smell of disuse, if that makes sense. John gestures for me to go first, so I do. If I'm being honest, I think at this point my creep meter had probably edged up to a 7. Still quiet, but now a more pronounced pulse. Still not Motel 6 uncomfortable. The place just felt so empty. I shine my cell phone light around in front of me as John follows me through the door. We are in a large kitchen. Huge, even. He gently eases the door shut. Every footstep sounds like a squeaky explosion on the weathered hardwood, and John shushes me as I make my way towards the counter on the other side of the room. I can see a piece of printer paper illuminated there. My stomach drops as I get closer. Now, you're going to think I'm making this up. But I swear to God, it's a piece of printer paper with the words, "Make yourself at home," scrawled on it in blue crayon. And it looks like it was written by a toddler. Each letter is blocky, crooked, and 2 inches tall. I turn and look at John as he begins to read it over my shoulder, and I immediately recognize his "nope the F out of here" expression. His eyes are huge. Dude, what the F? Dude, what the F? He's looking over my shoulder now. I snap my head around in the direction of his gaze. What? What is it?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
He's looking out a huge window. Through it, the tree line is dimly illuminated in the hazy yellow glow from the bulb outside the door. I just saw something moving out there, I swear, just past the edge of the woods. I strain my eyes, but see only the trees and their shifting shadows. It seems like the wind is picking up. If the crayon hadn't done it, John's outburst had. I was officially Motel 6 uncomfortable. Let's get out of here. You're right, we can find another place to stay. Sleeping in the car would be better than this. John is 100% on board. We make our way out of the kitchen and let the door slam, no longer worrying about being quiet. I'm actually jogging by the time we get halfway down the sidewalk, my backpack bouncing awkwardly. John beats me back to the car, and I see his shoulders slump as he slows down. What? I ask. Then I see. The tires. All four tires are completely flat. That's when the screaming started. Part 2. Maradin, company's here. John and I were both frozen in place, our eyes locked together. We had both been so transfixed by the discovery of the flat tires that the sound of this woman's frantic shouts had put us into a kind of terrified stupor. Martin. My stomach felt like a twisted knot. John was facing away from the house, and over his shoulder I could see what appeared to be an old woman in a white nightshirt. She was barefoot and pacing along the edge of the woods near where we had just come from, barely visible in the edge of the dim yellow light. My eyes widened as she leaned towards the trees and raised her hands to her mouth. Martin. Martin, it's time. John found his voice. Shit, shit, shit. Shit. Sean, what is she doing? What is she doing out here in the middle of the night? SHH. We need to be quiet. We had both ducked behind the car, but I doubted that she'd be able to see us here in the darkness anyway. I peeped over the hood toward the sounds. She was walking rapidly back and forth, slightly hunched over, staring into the dark trees. We must have run right by her on our way back to the car without even noticing. The thought of her lurking in the shadows while we hurried out of the house sent a chill down my spine. Just as I thought this, she screamed once more, her voice cracking with the strain. She paused for just a moment as if listening, and then disappeared into the woods. This old lady literally just ran into the dark woods. No flashlight, no shoes. The sound of the night insects seemed to swell in the absence of her screams. Have you ever been in an extremely high-pressure situation? The adrenaline rush really does make it feel like time slows down. In that moment of surreality, two facts pushed themselves to the front of my mind, bright red and almost tangible. We had lost cell service miles before reaching the house. Driving out of here in our car was not an option. The tires weren't just low. The rims were resting on the gravel driveway. That wouldn't work. No, sir. We wouldn't get 10 feet. John seemed to have reached a similar conclusion and raised a fantastic counterpoint. I bet they have a phone in there, like a house phone. Old people love landlines. True. But I saw one glaring issue. I really don't want to go back inside. We don't even know that it's empty. She could be back any time, I said. I noticed a pickup truck parked near a dilapidated shed near the other side of the house. It looked ancient and rusted, but all the tires seemed to be full of air. Potential. Let's go check that truck for keys. John nodded, and I was already running, dropping my backpack as I took off. I wasn't sure who Martin was, and I wanted things to stay that way. We cleared the yard in 15 seconds, and the house had now obscured our view of the woods where the old woman had disappeared. I jerked the handle, and it swung open with a groan. John was on the passenger side and already had his cell phone light on. Together we searched for the keys, above the visors, in the cup holders, every nook and cranny. We found nothing. As neither of us knew how to hotwire a car, we needed a new plan. Okay, I said. I vote we run for it. John opened his mouth to protest, and I talked louder. You saw that lady. She's completely batshit. She slashed our tires, and now she's running to get help. She could come back any time. I know, John said. But you have to remember, we basically drove up a mountain to get here. And I don't remember seeing a single car after we got off the interstate. It could be hours before we find somebody, and that nut job could just run us down in her truck. A good point. The prospect of wandering in the dark for hours loomed ominously, so I relented. Fine. But we have to go now if we're going. And then we were running again, aiming for that sickish yellow glow near the kitchen door, the air rushing past my ears. As we got closer, I could see the spot where the woman had run into the trees. Nothing there but darkness, now. Despite our rush, we paused for a moment outside the door to peer through the frosted glass. Still pitch black dark. I took a deep breath and pushed the door in, and again we were met with the smell of air that has been sitting still for ages. The kitchen seemed to yawn backwards into deeper darkness, and my cell phone light swept over the countertops in search of a phone or a cord. John checked the other side, and we met near the back wall. "Nothing," I whispered. John nodded his consensus. Outside the window that faced the woods, I saw only the empty yard and the dark tree line, shifting in the breeze. "Let's check one more room and then get the F out of here." The door out of the kitchen opened onto a long hallway. The other end of it was just visible at the edge of my flashlight's beam. My heartbeat pounded in my ears, and I willed my legs forward with considerable effort. I got to the end of the hallway and stopped. John bumped into me and actually pushed me further into the room. I leaned back to try and escape from what I was seeing, but it did no good. I felt like my legs were about to give out. Every wall was covered in thick, black writing. Symbols I had never seen before. Symbols that I had seen before. My name. But one word stuck out. Written on the floor. Written on the damn ceiling in that same childlike scrawl. Martin. And then I was screaming. And John was screaming. And as I began to voice the word run, I realized that a third voice had joined the cacophony. Her ancient, gray face was pressed against the window, black eyes darting back and forth as she cackled. Our eyes met, and she was laughing and screaming and foaming at the mouth, "Oh God, Martian. He's coming. Martin is coming." And she was sobbing and laughing and screaming, "Oh God, help us," and her face was twisted in glee and agony as she smashed it through the window and kept screaming as the blood began to flow. "Martin is here. He's here." And my legs were moving and the breath left my lungs in gasps and spurts as I followed John back through the kitchen door and into the yard, and oh God, why was it so bright out here in the middle of the night? But we ran down the drive and into the woods, and we ran until we couldn't anymore, and then we ran some more. John, shaking me. The sun was shining. A truck. A truck was coming. Gotta get up. The fog lifted a bit, and I saw John running towards the road with his arms out. The kid looked 17 at the most. I heard him say he had room, and I stumbled out of the culvert in which I had apparently been lying. The clock on the dash said 7:12. When the police got there, the house was on fire and had already burned most of the way down. When John and I recounted the story, they reacted with visible skepticism. I can't blame them, really. Nothing unusual at the scene. Definitely no bodies. I still don't know who the old lady was, or Martin for that matter. They told us that the house had been abandoned for as long as they could remember. We're both fine, for the most part. All that to say, be careful when using Airbnb. Most of the ones that have a few decent reviews are probably safe. A few months ago, I was in Besançon, France, exploring Fort Schoen, a fort occupied by Germans during World War II, alone. After checking out the site, I started heading back to my Airbnb down a mountain trail and came upon a long, dark tunnel. It was about a half mile down from the site, so I assume it was part of the fort. Anyways, it was too dark inside to see anything, and I was intrigued. So I shouted inside a few times to make sure the coast was clear, and then went inside with a flashlight and started filming. Everything seemed normal at first. Although it was pretty spooky to be alone in a World War II bunker in a remote mountain in the pitch black. I got to the end of a hallway and turned left, and found myself facing a very large room, too large for my flashlight to illuminate. I couldn't see anything inside. Then, just when I was about to take a step forward into the room, a strange mist or fog came around the corner and seemed to come right at me. I was already tensed up from being a bit spooked. So as soon as I saw movement, I booked it out of there. I've tried to rationalize what I saw and have come up with nothing, so I decided to post here. I considered it could be an exhalation from some animal, but I heard absolutely nothing in the cave, so that seems unlikely. It could also have been fog, but I don't know how that would have formed deep inside a cave, and it was also just in one small cloud. There was also a lot of writing outside or inside the cave. I don't speak French, so I was curious if anyone could translate or if anyone is familiar with the site. According to Google, the spray paint on the entrance to the cave says, "In the middle of the walk or X, can't read that word." Okay, so a little backstory first. I organized a trip to meet up with my parents in my dad's hometown of Dover, Kent, UK. We both live 3 hours' drive from there. I have lots of fond memories of Dover as my dad took me there a lot as a child. However, we actually booked an Airbnb in the neighboring town of Deal, as there was no availability in Dover. Me and my partner are driving down to Dover from Sheffield on a Friday night after work, getting dark almost as soon as we leave. When we get about an hour away from our destination, I thought it would be nice to drive through Dover so my girlfriend, who's not from the UK, can see the seafront and the castle, etc. Opposed to driving straight through to Deal where our Airbnb was. I told her to change the destination on our Google Maps route, which guided us off the main M2 motorway, a big three-lane carriageway, to a one-car-wide track with a tree tunnel. I began making jokes saying, "Where have you taken us? Why are we on this road?" etc. It was such a drastic change of scenery and definitely had creepy vibes. Very dark and, as mentioned, the tree tunnel. Anyway, we continue following this lane, when all of a sudden I see a big white flutter in the top left of my vision in the tree line. Being a bird enthusiast, and for the most part a non-believer, I immediately brush it off as a barn owl. I didn't get a good image of what it was that moved. All I remember is a white flash movement. As we were driving up this track, there were a few large, very spaced out houses, and then a business Blue Bell Hill Physiotherapy, which gave me an indication of the area we were in, before returning to a normal, well-lit road, in which we rejoined the other motorway to take us to Dover. I didn't really think much of it at the time, other than it being a bit creepy due to the darkness and tree tunnel, and how we changed from a big motorway to an absolute track in an instant. Just as I changed my mind to drive through Dover, instead of going straight to Deal, we could have detoured at any other time using any other road. We arrive at the Airbnb, check in, and get settled. An hour or so later, my parents arrive. All the generic catching up happens, as we haven't seen them in a while, and then I get into the story how the navigation took us some track and I saw an owl. As my dad is from this area, he asked where the track was, and because of the physiotherapist, I replied Blue Bell Hill. He looks at me and laughs, "So you saw a white flash in the trees down some lane at Blue Bell Hill," and told us how he knew that exact area and the haunting that goes with it. When he was growing up, it was a well-known ghost-y sort of area. Famously, there was a car crash in the 60s. This immediately made me think twice about the owl I saw. Like I said, I just assumed it was an owl due to the fact. What else is hanging around in the trees at night? I begin Googling the area and find all sorts of paranormal experiences around the area. The chances of me deciding to change route at the perfect time for the navigation to take us down this creepy road seem pretty slim. Needless to say, I had trouble sleeping that night, and this experience was on my mind the entire trip. So, my boyfriend and I had to go to Atlanta this weekend. We weren't right in the middle of the city, but a bit outside of it. We got to the hotel around 7 p.m. My boyfriend wanted to shower, so I said I'd go to the McDonald's. I went alone around 8 p.m. Our hotel was next to a mall and some restaurants and shops, but it still felt a bit private. The front of the hotel faces a big empty space, and behind it is a freight and shipping area. As I walked in, I saw two guys in the empty parking lot across the street, and there was no car around. It was a bit strange, but since I was already inside, I didn't feel too scared. We were just eating and watching TV. At around 10 p.m., I heard an alarm. I told my boyfriend someone must have gone out the emergency exit. He looked outside and saw that it was our car alarm. The car key was on the side table the whole time, so we couldn't have accidentally pressed it. He said he'd go outside to turn it off because it wasn't working from the window. At that moment, I didn't think much about it, but as soon as my boyfriend left, I felt really scared and anxious all of a sudden. It was like a big wave hitting me. I quickly got up and locked the deadbolt on the door. I chuckled at myself, thinking I was being too worried. Then I went to the window to see if he turned off the alarm and if he was coming back so I could unlock the deadbolt. When I peeked out, I saw a guy in the empty parking lot, just one this time. I called my boyfriend and told him not to go out, just to turn off the alarm from the lobby. There's someone in the parking lot, so be careful. Suddenly, there was a knock on the door. I thought it might be my boyfriend, but I'm cautious. I always check through the peephole, and I'm really glad I did this time. When I looked, my heart dropped. There was a man staring right through the peephole like he was trying to see inside. It scared me a lot, especially because of the distorted view making him look really big. The man had a dark beard and was wearing a hoodie. I knew I wasn't going to open the door for him. I wanted to call my boyfriend, but I didn't want the man to know I was inside. So I went into the bathroom, called my boyfriend, and whispered, "Someone's at the door. Please come back here." The knocking kept getting louder and louder, but the man didn't say anything. Maybe it was late, or perhaps he was drunk and got the wrong room. I'm not sure. Then it went quiet. I wanted to check if he was still there, but I was afraid to look through the peephole again and see him. It felt like my legs were heavy as I walked to the door. Surprisingly, the man was gone when I checked, but just as quickly, frantic knocking made my heart race again. Then I heard my boyfriend's voice, and I didn't care if the guy came back. I wasn't going to keep my boyfriend locked out. The next morning, we told the front desk, but they didn't take it seriously since nothing really bad happened to us. We left that evening and stayed in a much safer hotel. The rest of the trip was good, but we just can't forget what might have happened if I had opened the door without checking who it was. And that was the most disturbing part of this. It was fairly normal, overall. Everything was quite modern and classy, but the dining room in the front of the house felt out of place. It was all dark wood, antique furniture, with old oil paintings on the walls. It felt like the dining room belonged to someone's grandma, while the rest of the house had the vibe of 40-something stoners. The first time I walked into this room, I got a really bad vibe, got goosebumps, and just did not want to be near it. I'd love to believe in paranormal stuff, but I have a science background and am always trying to disprove stuff, you know. Luckily, I was staying in the house next door. We rented two houses, so I didn't spend a lot of time in the first house. But I went back at least two more times and took a look at that room, and both times I got the same feeling. Nowhere else in the house, only in the dining room. Has anyone else experienced something similar? A few months back, my wife posted this story of our experience, but it made her uneasy, so she removed it. I, however, don't mind discussing it and would encourage discussion to help understand the situation. Back in August of 2023, we were staying at an Airbnb in Hatch, Utah. This place didn't have any air conditioning considering the elevation of Hatch, and the temperature was pretty comfortable. This will be relevant later. On the first night, my wife and I were out stargazing since the sky was devoid of light pollution and clouds. I had my GoPro set up and my phone taking photos, and we were just staring up enjoying the stars. That's when my wife pointed out to me what appeared to be a single small satellite floating across the sky. As we were looking at it, however, it multiplied into three lights in a triangle shape. It continued to expand in the same manner until there were about seven lights in a larger triangle pattern. That in and of itself is pretty weird, but But what really was just bizarre was the sky that was visible within that triangle shape more or less froze like a screenshot. And then that section of sky was moving with the triangle while the rest of the sky around it was stationary. The best way I can think to describe it would be like in the movie Predator and his active camo invisibility tech. The world behind him was visible but skewed. This triangle passed over the sky for a few short minutes until it just seemed to either rise rapidly and disappear or shrink rapidly. It was about that time that we noticed that it had gone eerily silent outside with us. No crickets or anything, even the wind seemed to stop. We decided to go in for the night after that as we were both pretty weirded out. In awe but weirded out. I got some good pictures of the night sky, but of course, as is the usual, they didn't see anything weird. A few hours later, the same evening, when we were getting ready for bed, I wanted to try a long exposure setting I had found on my GoPro. So I was standing on the porch taking pictures. That is when I heard the whistle. Now, I am not an overly superstitious man, but I've heard stories and not wanting to take my chances, I didn't return the whistle. There was a second whistle shortly after the first that expedited my decision to go back inside. Weirded out, we laughed it off and locked the doors and went to bed. Mind you that due to the lack of air conditioning in this house, the windows were all open for airflow. An hour or so later, after we were asleep, my wife wakes me up to ask if I hear that. It was at this point we both hear very clearly a deep growl and breathing like that of a bear or large animal outside our window on the porch. Not loud, but bassy. We could hear heavy footsteps on the porch as well. We woke our friends up and turned all the lights on to look around. There were no footprints on the dusty porch and none in the soft mud around the porch, so this experience we just cannot explain. Of course, our friends were asleep in their room and didn't hear a thing, and they didn't experience the earlier sighting outside either. Nothing else weird happened while we stayed there for the rest of the trip. The final thing to have happened, and this is the part that really weirded my wife out, was that a month or so later when we were back home. We were in the kitchen making dinner when she looked up, and there was an owl sitting on the fence just staring into the house at us. I wasn't at the time aware of the correlation between alien sightings or abductions and the sighting of owls, but I am now. To our knowledge, we didn't have any lost time events or anything like that, but it just kind of felt like we saw something we weren't supposed to see, and they were checking us out to see if we were cool. For my wife, this all is a little too much, and it has made her uneasy to stare at the stars as much anymore. I, on the other hand, am still very much intrigued. We haven't noticed any more owls as of late, so who knows if it was coincidence or not. As I started this post stating my wife had posted before, this YouTube show Belief Hole reached out to her and asked if they could feature the story, which they did in an episode back in August. The episode is Paranormal Railways, Cursed Death Cars, Diamond Eye Drifters, and at Altercations if you are interested in hearing her original post of the story. Plus, on their page for this episode, they showed a picture of the owl my wife sent them. I commented on the episode trying to open discussion, but I never heard back. I'm posting this because I can describe my experience, but cannot explain it. I would be interested in hearing if anyone else has experienced anything like this. I can post some pictures in the comments if there is any interest.